céu de ouro.
Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Tuesday, February 11th, 2020, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. A lot to talk about today. What's up, New Hampshire? So we'll get into all of that in a little bit, but first I want to play maybe one, maybe two clips. The first is very interesting. Well, I guess they both are. This is sort of emblematic of the power elite turnstile. The story is the former CDC head cashing in Merck stock, and how convenient based on the situation. This is a video that Del Bigtree put out yesterday, the High Wire with Del Bigtree. So first entry, former CDC head cashes in. Go ahead, please.
When you want to talk about corruption, let's talk about the fact that Julie Gerberding just cashed in Merck stock a few weeks ago to the tune of $9.1 million. For those of you who are asking yourself, who is Julie Gerberding? Welcome to the High Wire and welcome to Del Bigtree. Julie Gerberding was at the heart of the story of the film that really changed my life course, which was called Vaxxed. Vax was about a whistleblower named Dr. William Thompson, who worked at the CDC and came forward and said, we are committing scientific fraud in here, specifically on the MMR autism study that took place between 2000 and 2004. Dr. William Thompson provided 10,000 documents to back up his claim, documents that he had told Congressman Bill Posey they were all forced to dump into a garbage can. Well, anyway, that's the heart of Vax. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. But now let's remember what this was about. Vax is all about one vaccine, the MMR vaccine. Remember that the MMR vaccine is made by Merck, where Julie Gerberding now works. But before she worked at Merck, what did she do? She was the head of the CDC. At the exact same time, this study was whitewashing the information to protect Merck's vaccine. Now, just a couple of short years after that study was put out, Hannah Poling, a case in vaccine court, was a young girl. Her father was a neurologist named John Poling. Julie Gerberding had to go on CNN and explain why Hannah Poling got paid out and how vaccines actually sometimes can maybe cause autism. Take a look at this.
We have the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Dr. Julie Gerberding, here. We're talking a lot about autism, as you know. I should remind people that my understanding is the federal government conceded that vaccines caused her autism-like symptoms. First of all, is there a difference? I mean, does she have autism or autism-like symptoms? What's the difference?
Well, you know, I don't have all the facts because I still haven't been able to review the case files myself. But my understanding is that the child has what we think is a rare mitochondrial disorder. And when children have this disease, anything that stresses them creates a situation where their cells just can't make enough energy to keep their brains functioning normally. Now, we all know that vaccines can occasionally cause fevers in kids. Mm-hmm. So if a child was immunized, got a fever, had other complications from the vaccine, then if you're predisposed with a mitochondrial disorder, it can certainly set off some damage. Some of the symptoms can be symptoms that have characteristics of autism.
There you have it. Scientists that love to say, well, we don't really know what causes autism. And yes, it looks like if you have a underlying mitochondrial disorder, it could cause an inflammation in your brain. I mean, some kids get fevers, so it would only stand to reason that someone who doesn't have good energy in their cells, the mitochondria, that could turn into an encephalopathy event and then result in autism-like behavior. Now, we all forget that happened, and we like to have Sanjay Gupta forget that happened.
There is no connection between vaccines and autism.
But what I don't want to forget is the fact that after making all of these statements, knowing that vaccines very well could cause autism, knowing that you have a whistleblower at the CDC saying, hey, this MMR study is really problematic. In fact, it's a time bomb for the CDC. Here's 10,000 documents that showed that when we ran the data, we saw a causal relationship between the MMR vaccine. I want to also remember that we never forget that the head of the CDC, Julie Gerberding, overseeing this study, they whitewashed the study. They say vaccines don't cause autism. Specifically, the MMR vaccine doesn't cause autism. And then what happens to Julie Gerberding after she goes around saying, see, the MMR doesn't cause autism. Merck is exonerated from any responsibility. She gets a job, get this, as executive vice president and strategic communications and global public policy and population health for who? Merck. And she gets gigantic stock options. Let's look at this. So just a couple of weeks ago, she cashes out for $9,118,864.97. That is a huge payout, but it's not the only one. Now, remember, Julie's also getting a salary. These are just her additional stock options. But get this. Back in 2016, right before the election, she cashed out Merck stock to the tune of $5,113,329. And in 2015, she cashed out for $2,339,949.21. For a total so far of $16,592,144.10. Obviously, all being used as spending cash. I think of Goodfellas when the wife says, you know, I need some cash. And he says, how much? And she says, like that much? This is like That much is how much I need right now. Now, God knows what she's spending her $16 million on. Really, actually, it's none of my business. And by the way, she hasn't cashed it all out. We found out that she still has 9 million more in stock options at Merck. She can do what she wants. This is a free country, and people can get paid whatever they want. My thing is, do you trust the information that come from your government agencies when a year after working at that agency, they move in to the very company that they exonerated from any wrongdoing and end up making 20-something million dollars in stock options plus a gigantic salary? Sounds like a payoff to me. Sounds like someone made Merck really happy. Meanwhile, there are still millions of parents around the world continuing to report that after an MMR vaccine or after a DTaP vaccine or other vaccines, their child regressed into autism. We now have Dr. Andrew Zimmerman, who once worked for the government, suing the government and the Department of Justice, saying, "You lied about my testimony. I did once say that there's no mechanism by which a vaccine causes autism, but you know damn well I changed that statement when I was looking at the case of Hannah Poehling." And now throughout the other decades of his career, since that tragic moment in vaccine court, he continues to treat autistic children at Kennedy Krieger Institute, where they are reporting a large percentage of the autistic children have an underlying mitochondrial disorder, something that Julie Gerberding said was very rare. Maybe it isn't so rare. And maybe, just maybe, vaccines do cause autism. But the person we were supposed to believe is cashing in millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars for telling us otherwise. If you like that clip, then be sure to check out our live broadcast of The High Wire every Thursday morning.
All right, so that's the first entry. That's fantastic, and I agree. Goodfellas is, I think, an apropos reference there. But isn't it also deeply disturbing that when people are encouraged to go to their Walmart healthcare professional, they are not asked, there's no curiosity if there really is this underlying mitochondrial disorder that is rare or maybe not so rare? Why are we not encouraged to ask our Walmart healthcare professional? Or why are they not curious about that? Do you have an underlying mitochondrial disorder? Does your child have that? So to me, that's just as telling as the Goodfellas reference, which I think is apropos. We have just about enough time to squeeze in about the first half of this next clip, which deals with the soundbite measles amnesia or immune amnesia, which would make the Sinclair Broadcasting Group proud. I think measles amnesia is dangerous to our democracy. So here's that clip. Go ahead, please.
The most recent attack on anyone that questions MMR vaccine is, well, did you know that not only does measles kill, even though it hasn't really killed anyone in America, yet we keep saying it's deadly, did you know it actually also causes immune amnesia? Take a look at this.
Immune amnesia.
Immune amnesia.
Immune amnesia.
It is the latest possible and potential side effect for those who contract measles.
Two new studies say that when a child gets measles, they become more susceptible to contracting other viruses such as strep or chickenpox.
It removes antibodies, and that leaves us vulnerable to diseases we were once protected against.
Children who aren't vaccinated for measles may be more susceptible to illnesses.
How concerning is this?
Well, I think this is really very concerning because we knew the measles was bad. According to the CDC, 0.2% to 1% of people who contract the measles die directly of the measles.
Mm-hmm.
What we found out is that the measles is even more lethal than what we initially understood. Basically, it removes the memory of your previous infection. So the knowledge your immune system has gathered over your entire life is damaged, and the immune system just forgets.
Your immune system just forgets. It's called measles amnesia or immune amnesia. Obviously, I think this is targeting all of those out there that were thinking of having a measles party. They got to stop that. They want to terrify you about doing something like that. Instead, get back to thinking about the vaccines. Now, one of the things I want to say is, you know, as a medical journalist, someone that worked on the doctor's television show for 6 years and won an Emmy Award, there's certain things that like set off red flags or immediate questions that pop up in my head. And when I saw the articles coming out about immune amnesia or measles amnesia, that the measles somehow wipes out, you know, your body's memory of having all the other diseases it's had, I just immediately thought to myself, but what about grandma and grandpa? What about every single person that had the measles in from the baby boomers and before? There was no sort of recorded evidence that they got the chicken pox again after getting the measles. Like, you would have heard about that. You would have heard that, you know, grandma said, you know, I got the chicken pox 3 times because I got the chicken pox, then I got the measles, and then I got the chicken pox again. You never heard that story. So that's where my questioning begins. Luckily, that's not the only reason I do a show, and it's certainly not going to be the depth of the information we have. Instead, I'd rather bring on a doctor to get to the bottom of this. And to do that, I'm bringing on Dr. Brownstein, MD, who's written some great articles on this. And so, Dr. Brownstein, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine, Del.
All right, great. So obviously there's this huge hype that's been going on for the last several months. It's a brand new thing, measles or immune amnesia. I think you actually called it measles amnesia. Now, you probably just heard me say, if this had been an issue, wouldn't our grandparents and everyone that came before us, everyone that, you know, was, you know, before 1961 had the vaccine, they weren't complaining about you being, you know, having their immune systems erased and having diseases they'd already had that were supposed to have lifelong immunity, but the lifelong immunity went away. Am I wrong about that?
Del, you're not suffering from measles phobia. You're right on track with that. And the article I wrote was measles amnesia is giving me a headache because it's just not true. And you highlighted why it's not true. There's no history of people suffering from the measles all of a sudden becoming vulnerable to other illnesses they recovered from, like chicken pox or mumps or rubella or something like that. This is a false flag. It's nonsensical information. And any doctor who promotes that is not telling the truth on the history of measles.
But take me through it. You read into it. You looked into it. What is it they're saying is happening? Is there some sort of erasing going on?
Well, what they're saying is after an acute case of measles, the immune system changes. And what they're finding is certain immune system cells go away, and these cells are thought to have memory of previous infections. That may be true, but we don't see patients suffering from these previous infections like you elucidated. It's just not true. There's different ways our immune system codes us for having previous infections. And although things change after measles infection, they don't change for the worse because people seem to have stronger immune system after a measles infection.
And that's what we historically know. And, you know, I find it when I see these, you know, sort of when I read these articles and then I think like I've watched even people like Paul Offit, who speaks out a lot about the need for vaccines. He'll say that, you know, your titers or the things that we can measure don't really add up to meaning that you have immunity or you don't have immunity. It just seems like whatever they're trying to prove, they jump to the other side of the story. In one hand, we only know that vaccines work because we tested for antibodies and titers. But then on the other hand, they'll say, but no, you shouldn't test for antibodies and titers because that doesn't prove that you're immune to anything. We've known people that don't have any antibody titers and they still are immune. Is medicine as confused as it appears to be? I mean, I keep thinking about the World Health Organization videos where we had scientists just in December saying it'd be really nice to have a better idea or know how these things work, meaning how vaccines work. Isn't this really them sort of admitting they don't know how the immune system works?
Of course they don't know how the immune system works. We know that people who can't form antibodies against illnesses can get a vaccine and they seem to be immune from that illness sometimes. And we also know people who can't form antibodies can get the illness, and then they're immune from it, even though they don't have any signs of antibodies. So we have a rudimentary knowledge of the immune system, and this measles amnesia thing really is just a false flag, and it's really designed by Big Pharma to convince people that, you know, measles is a serious illness that we all need to be vaccinated for and more need to be vaccinated for. This article shouldn't come to that conclusion because that's just not true.
Right, and so all they've really seen. Now, what was it? Is it the titers that disappeared? What specifically disappeared?
It was certain T cells in the immune system that disappeared, and they came back later. And what they thought was that people are going to be now have to be revaccinated for the other illnesses that they were vaccinated from because these certain titers and antibodies went away. That's just not true. That's never been proven. That's never been shown. And if we looked at the history of measles, just like you said, look at our grandparents and our parents, that didn't happen. People had healthier immune systems who recovered from these childhood illnesses.
And I have to imagine now, Dr. Bronstein, it's been quite a bit of time. We actually know vitamin A is more important than we knew in 1960, 61 before the vaccine. Would you agree with me that I think the death rate would be even lower now than it was in 1961 when it was at 1 in 10,000?
Well, remember, the CDC numbers that they're quoting in 1962 are reported cases of measles. So those are patients who make it to the hospital because they're having other problems like pneumonia or sepsis or something else going on. So those are the patients, the serious problems with any illness, including measles. But most of the cases were never reported because kids got measles. They stayed home for a week from school and they recovered uneventfully. And most didn't even see a doctor over it. Mothers knew what it was, and they took care of them as they should. So the numbers are truly much lower than what the CDC is quoting. And again, that's another false flag and another scare tactic to convince us all that we need more and more vaccines and more measles vaccinations.
And, you know, when I think about it, and you know, you've been a doctor for a while, you have a great family medicine practice. It seems to me one of the things they like to say is hospitalizations. Well, really, isn't that the effect that we've created such a massive panic around measles? Back in 1960, 61, you'd seen the Brady Bunch episode where the doctor says, just stay home. Everyone's playing Monopoly. They're sitting around playing board games. You didn't go into the hospital because there was nothing to be afraid of. But the current medical establishment is making measles into the Black Plague. So people rush in the second they have a rash into the hospital, which in many ways to me is putting more people at danger. If they'd have just stayed at home, you call your doctor, yeah, you got the measles, hang out at home. Instead, they're rushing into a place where you have other illnesses. You have people with weakened immune systems in the hospitals. Aren't they creating the very problem that they claim to be trying to alleviate?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of issues with measles. Number one, it's a very contagious illness. Most kids will get it if nobody's vaccinated for it. The vaccine has been fairly successful at that. It has taken measles down to much lower numbers than before the vaccination. The bigger question to ask is, are we healthier for doing that? And clearly, kids today are not as healthy as kids in the 1960s and 1950s were. We have more asthma, more autoimmune disorder, more cancer, more chronic illness. So the answer isn't just giving more vaccines. That needs to be studied. And we could easily answer this with a vaccinated versus unvaccinated study from the CDC, but they refuse to do it. There have
exactly
been a couple
right.
of studies that have reported that, and they've clearly shown that vaccinated kids have much more illnesses, much more chronic illness, much more asthma, autoimmune disease, allergies, eczema, than unvaccinated kids. And so just to say that we need more and more vaccines is ridiculous, and they're just fanning the flames of an illness that 99%+ of kids got over uneventfully.
All right, great. So I don't have to worry about measles amnesia. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'd be very happy. I was joking with someone just today that I ran to the airport that recognized me, said, Del, you know, we were talking, and, you know, she said, I was able to get my kid the chicken pox. She's like, we're still trying to find the measles. And I said, you know, like, for me now, as crazy as this might seem, you know, finding a way for my children to just get the measles, I'd be so happy that my children get lifelong immunity compared to this inferior, crappy immunity, which is, what are we at? We're at 2 MMRs, looking at a possible third in college, 2 more as adults. We know that number is going to keep growing, especially as, I think, as the baby boomers start to leave this planet, unfortunately, and we lose the last true group of herd immunity. Who wants to live in a world where we have to just keep using this inferior product to achieve something that nature was doing so well?
Well, the problem is, if you start giving more than 2 measles vaccines, they don't work. The studies have clearly shown that beyond 2 vaccines, there's really no efficacy of giving them. So we're really stuck in a rock and a hard place. And when measles titers wear off from these vaccinated, because they don't have lifelong immunity, like you mentioned, for the ones that get the wild illness, there's going to be a big trouble in our country. And I'm not quite sure what the answer is, because we've made this mess ourselves. The answer isn't more vaccines.
And you're going to have people getting measles at an age where it's much more dangerous. You don't want to be getting measles when you're 45, 50, or even 70 years old. You wanted to get it when you were 5 years old, and all the vaccine really did was stall that point, because you're right, it's wearing off. And in the end, now we have a vulnerable population that we can't do anything for. They don't have lifelong immunity, and the vaccine doesn't work anymore.
And we've got a vulnerable population of pregnant, of women of childbearing age, who can receive big problems if they get measles or their kids get measles after they're born. This never used to be a problem because mothers had lifelong immunity. They would pass immunity to their newborn children for 6 months to a year, and it just wasn't an issue. I mean, nature had solved it for us, and then we went in and messed it up. So the answer isn't giving more vaccines. It's trying to make us healthier and to eat better. And, you know, don't worry about measles amnesia. You know, I said it's giving me a headache, and my advice is don't take two Tylenol because that depletes your glutathione and causes other problems. But just don't worry about this, and perhaps you won't have the headache.
All right, great advice. Dr. Brownstein, thank you for those thoughts.
So what happens? We actually played all of that, and I'm glad that we did that. I thought we were just going to play the first half, but that's okay. What happens when you put those two videos together? You understand how just damning and alarming it is to put those together and to realize that if it's true that Julie Gerberding is, she got her king's ransom basically, and really it's not. It's, you know, like Del Bigtree mused, you know, it to me represents some good fellows kind of spending cash from running around town cash, really. 16 or 20 or whatever million dollars these days doesn't go very far, I don't think. Certainly not under the present conditions. So it's not much. And how deeply disconcerting is it when you realize that if you're Merck, it's not just, it's basically perpetual, you know, you have a lock, a monopoly on a market product that you will maintain in perpetuity. It's kind of what's in view there. And like Del was saying, you know, the vaccine schedule continues to increase. Funny that. Meanwhile, the autoimmune diseases and chronic diseases and things are also increasing, but there's no connection there. Correlation does not equal causation. We're not supposed to recognize patterns. That's not, just not okay. So, I mean, it's deeply disturbing. She helped to engineer and orchestrate. No wonder she's, you know, whatever the title was, vice president of global communications and so forth, because she is the masterful Bernaysian artist, Machiavellian artist who engineered engineered and orchestrated the problem away. There's no problem here. Nice little Jedi mind trick. And now you have, like they were just talking about, you have a situation where these next generations will, unless there is some kind of significant change in policy, public policy, so to speak, like we all come to our senses, if that doesn't happen, you're barring some miracle, you have generations that will be hooked on these drugs for life. I dare say it wasn't nature, but God, who created the immunity originally to things. And people want to say, well, you know, we can't. When did we decide to put God out of the miracle-making business? He seemed to do pretty well at it. Science, not so much. So that's just funny. And then there's that, what did that guy write? There was a guy who wrote, diet injections and injunctions will combine from a very early age, which was shortly before 1961. Curious that. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Tuesday, March 10th, 2020 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. We had some stuff going on, but we got it figured out, so we're good to go. So we're live this morning, and things are interesting in America. It's it's getting very interesting. More and more interesting all the time. So we'll talk about some of that this morning. I'm not one to fearmonger, but as you know, but things are interesting. So let's just kind of maybe start off with this. James Corbett has a post today titled, "Is This the Big Event? Questions for Corbett, number 056. And I think this is something that's, you know, there are a lot of questions, there are a lot of nuances and things, subtleties and little nuances to what's happening. And I think things are changing sort of in real time, but sort of not. And I think what's abundantly clear above all else is that what we're hearing, for example, in the mainstream media doesn't make sense. You know, you can't, I don't think you can take any of it at face value, even the numbers. We'll get into some of the numbers. I want to do that because there's this, for example, this, where is that? Not that one. There is this article. Where did that go? I just had that. CBS News. Flu has killed 20,000 Americans so far this season, including 136 children, CDC says. CDC, here's an NBC, CNBC story. CDC tells people over 60 or who have chronic illnesses like diabetes, which is pretty much everyone in America these days, you know, because of the engineering of the health crisis, I would say. You know, things like glyphosate have done a bang up job contributing to that, or the technology. You know, Dr. Magda Havas talks about type 3 diabetes. Correlates to the technology that's all around us. So maybe give us more 5G. That's probably really good for our health. CDC tells people over 60 or who have chronic illnesses like diabetes to stock up on goods and buckle down for a lengthy stay at home. That is unless you're one of the lucky folks who comes in through an Air Force base and then is flown, you know, across the country somewhere, because that makes a lot of sense. We should do that. That doesn't seem counterintuitive at all. It seems like there's a great deal of fear-mongering going on, regardless of what you read. You know, so this CBS News story, for example, flu has killed 20,000 Americans so far this season, including 136 children. CDC says that's the numbers seem large, I think. But when you actually pull out a calculator and go to census.gov/popclock, I've talked about that before, you know, the eugenicists' fear-mongering weapon. Oh my goodness, look at that. We're all going to die. You're going to 29 million people. We could probably round that off, but I'll just... So, you know, 20,000, let's see. Not that any deaths are good. I'm not a death cult adherent or a eugenicist, so I don't think that's good. I'm just saying if we look at the numbers, it's not nearly as terrifying as we are led to believe. 20,000 divided by 329 million. 178,563 is a infinitesimally minuscule figure. Even if we go over to Johns Hopkins' holy grail of COVID-19/2019 NCOV/coronavirus/whatever, the holy grail of the data. 116,166 right now, real time. Even if that were just in the United States, that number divided by 329 million we're told anyway. Who's counted all these heads? 378,560, ticking up to 66 right now. Again, a very, very tiny number. So it's with all the hype. And, you know, every time you hear folks, let's see, here's James is getting the question, and, you know, you're seeing stuff like this. Actually, we should probably start with this. Nora O'Donnell, CBS Evening News. Maybe we'll start with this. Because this is really, to me, this sort of typifies what we're seeing in the media coverage. Okay, so this from last week. CBS Evening News, epidemiologist predicts effects of coronavirus in the months ahead. The coronavirus worldwide death toll now tops 3,000 with nearly 90,000 cases. Even those numbers are nothing compared to what could happen in the months ahead. And here's how Nora O'Donnell opened the broadcast back on the second. Go ahead, please.
Worldwide, the coronavirus death toll now tops 3,000 with nearly 90,000 cases. But even those numbers are nothing compared to what could happen in the months ahead. Today, CBS News' Jim Axelrod.
You know, it's terrifying, I think, to most people. And so, you know, when you look at stories like the one that I just mentioned, you know, 20,000 deaths, you know, the flu has killed 20,000 Americans so far this season. It sounds like fear-mongering to me. You know, especially when you start digging into the numbers, there's a lot of funny, fuzzy math that's used. In all, the CDC estimates about 34 million people have gotten the flu so far this season, and 350,000 have been hospitalized. Now, how much of that do you suppose is as a result of the panic of, I don't know, what I would call weaker-minded folks who have been conditioned, psychologically conditioned or socially engineered to believe that, you know, if you sneeze that you should be afraid, be very afraid? These hospitalizations, it's not, you can't look at this as a you know, all things being equal sort of situation, because we've had all of this fear mongering for at least 2 months now, more than going on at least 3 months. So, you know, anytime Junior sneezes or Grandma sneezes, someone wants to rush to somewhere, which obviously, you know, and you can see when you start to run this out logically to its critical end, you can see how this creates tremendous strain, tremendous burden on systems and resources. You know, this is something that James Corbett addressed, I forget which thing recently, but, you know, when you start talking about centralized everything, command and control everything, this is where you start running into problems. You fearmonger, and everybody in a community decides that if I have a sneeze or an itch or anything, then I should rush into the hospital. Probably should just run into emergency or something. That's going to create tremendous strain on systems. Versus if people are self-sufficient, they're exercising common sense and sensible precautions and self-sufficient, and you have a distributed system of care, and people are not just self-reliant, but are in communication with neighbors and things, you can see how that would lend itself to alleviating burdens and bottlenecks that would otherwise occur. And we're going to start seeing those. I mean, you're already hearing reports across the country. Well, at least I am. You probably are too. And I'm somewhat reluctant to even mention this because, again, I'm not the fear-mongering type, and that's not what this is. But, you know, I'm hearing reports of pockets across the country where stores aren't selling certain things already. And, you know, in other places, not so much. I know, for example, in Montana, the news so far is that Montana still has zero confirmed coronavirus cases, which I don't really means nothing to me, these numbers in any particular state. You know, what is it, 22, 23 people have died so far in Washington, but 16 of those were at a particular nursing home, and these are most of those, at least 16 of those were related, coronavirus related. What does any of that mean? Can we please have some specifics? Because until then, again, it doesn't seem like a legitimate story. It seems like there's something funny going on. So why are we getting entries like, you know, Nora O'Donnell and CBS Evening News, Jim Axelrod reporting that, according to some folks, we should be terrified, be afraid, be very afraid. Why are we hearing this then? One, I think, has to wonder. And the thing that really terrifies me about all of this is you see all of these kinds of scenarios. You know, I mentioned, and I actually posted in the archive, but I mentioned the conversation that James Corbett had with Derek Brose, and it seemed to be critical of. They mentioned Dana Ashley's video and seemed to be critical of that, which is, I think, interesting because it was, you know, they say we need to form a hypothesis. And I think that's, it's my understanding that's what she was doing. She wasn't trying to construe any of it as absolute fact. How can we know? I think that there's no denying the fact that, for example, Dave Stetzer has pointed out that you go to his website, StetzerElectric.com, over on the left-hand side, got these symptoms. Here's this graphic. Symptoms include respiratory, sinusitis, bronchitis, asthma, pneumonia. That's interesting. You know, we've heard that the industry funded studies tell us that, you know, the technology can hurt you, but, you know, if your skin is not heating up, then, well, then maybe it's not dangerous. The wireless technology in particular. Well, fever apparently is, you know, and have you looked at the symptoms lately? The symptoms are very squishy and not very specific as well. Maybe a fever, maybe a dry cough. What was the other symptom? I forget. After that, after the fever and the dry cough. So as Dana Ashley pointed out, when was the last time you heard somebody with pneumonia that had a dry cough? It's uncharacteristic, I would say. In my experience, I'm not a medical professional, but I'm not supposed to believe my lying eyes and experience, but it's, I would say, uncharacteristic. So these symptoms, you know, a fever and pneumonia-like symptoms are known to be symptoms also of radio wave sickness, according to U.S. Naval Medical Research, declassified documentation. circa 1972. So, I mean, those things were not just added to this graphic and subsequent studies. We've known that. So there is a curious crossover, to say the least. And it is interesting that there is a large rollout around the world of certain technologies. There are folks who are saying, you know, globalists are using a binary weapon, nanotech, silicon virus, excuse me, in forced vaccines activated by 5G as a population control weapon. That's among the many conjectures. Anyway, we'll talk about this stuff more when we come back. Stick around.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I think we will play a little bit of a little bit more of that CBS Evening News clip because it's, you know, we'll do that in the next hour. But it's sort of, to me, it's emblematic of what we're seeing. Some expert paraded out in front of people who says nothing specific, and it's very vague and it's very murky. But you know what? Millions of people are going to die. Maybe it's very like, I mean, it's possible that we could, well, give us some hard data. Like how are you coming to these conclusions? Because really it's, you know, if you listen to the, what's being said and take it at face value, if you're symptomatic, you know, the chances that you might die are more likely. Okay. That seems kind of like common sense. If you're not symptomatic, if you're asymptomatic, then, you know, the chances are lower. I mean, that's just, what kind of fear mongering is that? So I might die if I'm not symptomatic. Oh my goodness. It's just ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. It's a little bit absurd. At least, at a minimum, a little bit absurd. And so, you know, when you start to roll that kind of propaganda out amongst the herd, then herd mentality takes over. And Bernays tells us what happens. You know, Lebon, Trotter, Lippmann, etc. tell us what happens when you do that. It's an easy way to create a stampede, again, which burdens resources. And if you have that, then you have, I would say, a perfectly good crisis, some people would call it, the arsonists of the world, like Rahm Emanuel. And you never want, you know, a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that is an opportunity to do things you think you could not do before. That guy. You know, if you want to engineer a crisis, here's how you could certainly do that. So I think we should. Maybe we'll do that. Top of the next hour, we'll play some of that. Some of the other thing that I mentioned. Because I think that people need to just listen more carefully. So far, though, I have to say, in my conversations with folks, it seems like people have their heads screwed on straight, but something big seems to be happening. And I think the evidence of that is this whole, again, you know, these experts being paraded out here and there that are saying nothing. How do you know by what direction or what numbers, what data set do you come to these conclusions that millions of people might die? Why do you seem uncomfortable? Did someone put you up to this? Because you don't seem confident in your assertions, and you don't seem to have any data, real data, to back up what you're saying. Why are you saying this then? Very curious. Anyway, we'll talk more about that when we come back. Stick around, more right after this break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.